Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM. Mad Dog Sports Radio number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Once again, it's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. Got a lot of issues that I wanted to get into all on my own. Didn't even feel like sharing the wealth, to be quite honest with you, because there's so much stuff to get into. NBA playoffs, NFL stuff, the New York Mets on an 11-game losing streak. Oh, my Lord. I got to touch on that, too. There's so much stuff to get into, but the first order of business, appropriately so, would be to start with the NBA playoffs. Because this kid, Victor Wembanyama, I'll just start off the show with something that I normally don't do. I'll start it off with a question. Are the San Antonio Spurs going to win a world championship? Are the San Antonio Spurs going to win the world championship, the NBA world championship? Because I got news for you. When you look at Victor Wembanyama at 7'5", when you look at him pulling up for threes, coming around screens for pull-up threes, you know, scoring in the open court, pulling up from the corner, having range anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 to 25 feet, this brother is something special. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. He's a 7'5" Kevin Durant. That's what he is. And somehow, some way, somebody's going to have to figure out a way to stop him, because I got news for you. Stephon Castle, who didn't have the greatest game, only shot 31% from the field, can play. De'Aaron Fox can play. Okay? Vassell can play. The San Antonio Spurs got a little crew. And their inexperience might be something that gets in their way, but clearly Victor Wembanyama is not going to be the dude that does it. He's 7'5". He finishes with 35 points on 62% shooting. And when you hear a number like that and you hear his height, normally you would think, you know what? He's just dunking on people. That's not what's happening here. Spin moves in the lane. Dunks. Pull-up threes. Pull-up jump shots. Corner threes. Driving into the lane. Hook shots. Everything. I mean, the arsenal is the arsenal. And that's what we're dealing with right here. And so when I look at it from that standpoint, I'm wondering who the hell is going to beat the San Antonio Spurs. My answer is going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder, who continue to amaze me because how they move matters. You see, the one thing that's so great about watching Shai Gilgeous-Alexander perform is that it always seems effortless. He finishes with 25 points and 7 assists in only 29 minutes because the Thunder annihilated the Phoenix Suns in game one of their opening round series, playoff series, okay? I mean, when you look at it and you see what they bring to the table, remember, a year ago to the day, Oklahoma City blew out Memphis by 51 points in their series opening win following a week of rest. This time around, they were up by about 35. Reigning league MVP just made 28% of his field goals, 0 for 3 from three-point range, won 15 to 17 from the free throw line, before sitting out the fourth quarter. His sidekick in the backcourt is Jalen Williams, who had missed about 49 games this year, scored 22 points and 60% shooting. Chet Holmgren scored all 16 of his points in the first half because they didn't need him to do anything in the second half. Every time you turn around and you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, the way they play defense, everybody's in their right spots. Everybody's defending with energy. Nobody is taking plays off. They're coming at you like a pack of piranhas. You find yourself looking at them and you're saying to yourself, excuse me, it seems destined that they're going to be on a collision course with the San Antonio Spurs, the top two seeds in the Western Conference, going at it for a trip to the NBA Finals. But then you look at Denver and their victory over Minnesota. After a sluggish start, they come back, they beat Minnesota, they neutralize Ant-Man, they show Rudy Gobert to be a minimal factor, and Julius Randle for that matter, and a Naz Reid for that matter. And then you find yourself saying, wait a minute. What if the Denver Nuggets got consistent production of an all-star caliber level from Jamal Murray? What would that mean? What would that equate to? That's what you find yourself asking when you look at the Denver Nuggets. They won 13 consecutive games dating back to the regular season. It's who they are. They started out the game shooting 6 of 22 from the field and still won by double digits. Jokic only had 6 points on only 4 shot attempts at halftime. He finished with a 25-point triple-double. The Nuggets outscored Minnesota 68-46 in the second and third quarters combined, shoot 55% while holding the Wolves to under 40% shooting in those two quarters. Murray scored 24 of his game-high 30-point in the second and the third period. When he is flowing, Denver looks unstoppable. They look like they can beat anybody. And if they win this series, and I believe they will if they win game 2 tonight, if you don't stop them, if you're Minnesota and you go down 0-2, you're not beating Denver 4 out of 5 games. It's not happening. It's just not happening. So I look at it from that standpoint, and I'm like, yo, Minnesota's in some trouble. Because this is Jokic and Murray coming at you. And when they get their two-man game going, they're virtually unbeatable. I'm just here to tell you. They're virtually unbeatable. Murray is something special. We don't give him enough love, but we need to. We definitely need to. And so I look at it from that standpoint, and I say to myself, it's getting very interesting because now you're looking at the Los Angeles Lakers, who I gave zero chance of winning this series if Kevin Durant, obviously with Kevin Durant and Houston playing, and then right before game time, it's announced that Kevin Durant is out. He couldn't play in game 1 because he banged knees with a teammate. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You can't make this up. Yet Houston without KD went up against the Lakers without Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves. LeBron played well, continuing to amaze, showing that he's the GOAT of longevity because no player, no athlete in the history has been this good for this long. And by the way, while we're speaking about it, can we answer that question? Is there an athlete that has been this good for this long in history? I don't know who it is. Maybe somebody's going to give me Sugar Ray Robinson, who I never saw fight. Maybe they'll give me something like that. I don't know of an athlete that has been this good this long. Michael Jordan is still my GOAT because Michael Jordan at his best, I take any day against LeBron at his best. But that doesn't mean that LeBron isn't great and he isn't on the Mount Rushmore of basketball. And when you think about sports overall, again, it's a very simple question. At age 41, in his 23rd season, has there ever, ever, ever been anybody this good for this long? The answer to that is no. Not that I know of. I haven't seen it. Have you? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Having said all of that, I can't even tell y'all, I can't even put into words how disgusted I am that Kevin Durant didn't play this game. Because I'm like, you can't miss this. You got to protect your stars leading up to a playoff series. Guy can't get hurt in practice. Come on. That can't happen. But that's exactly what happened. And then Houston, without him, even though they had Alperen Sengun and Jabari Smith Jr. and Amen Thompson and the rest of the crew, Houston's offense looked horrible. They didn't look good at all. And then when you see some of the numbers, some of the things that happened, where they're playing in these games, and you're thinking about, I'm like, how the hell did you lose this game if you're the Houston Rockets? You outscored the Rockets. You outscored the Lakers 24-7 in points off turnovers. Lakers committed 20 turnovers. You out-rebounded the Lakers 44-35 overall. You out-rebounded them 21-3 on the offensive glass. You outscored them 23-6 in second chance points. And you had 4 different dudes, Smith, Sengun, Thompson, and reserve Jae'Sean Tate, Each of them had more offensive rebounds individually than the Lakers had as a whole team, because DeAndre Ayton had all three offensive rebounds for the Los Angeles Lakers. You got all of those numbers playing in your favor, and you still managed to lose the freaking game. How? How? But Houston did. And to me, you're buying time for Luka and Austin Reeves to get back. And if they get back, and you end up winning this series, you'll be going up against Oklahoma City Thunder in round two. Good luck with that. It ends there. Can't see the Lakers beating OKC. No way in hell. It ends there. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about all of that. Right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Again, you're listening live to Stephen A., Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Listen, I'm never going to be mad when the Lakers are winning, because that's more time in Southern California. Okay? And we can't be mad at what we see from LeBron James, who spoke after the game about how things have to be with Luka and Austin Reeves being out, at least until they get back. Listen to LeBron James speaking after the game. Take it away, guys.
I mean, we don't have a choice. That is, it has to be that way. It has to be a collective group. I mean, when you're missing so much firepower like we are right now with AR and Luka being out, we all have to pitch in. We all have to do our job and even do it a little bit more. Protect one another offensively and defensively. And I think we did that tonight. I mean, we just want to prepare ourselves the best way we can. I thought we had a great week of preparation, but we got to continue that. It's just one game. We protect the home court for game one, and we got to get better over the next 48 hours going into game two on Tuesday. So, you know, I thought we had just a good spirit. Everybody was in tune with what we wanted to execute, and we tried to do that.
Let's give Luke Kennard some love, too. Finished with 27 points, was shooting the ball all over the place, looking like J.J. Redick, for crying out loud. And shooting the ball from all over the place. Had a hell of a game. He played like that. Houston ain't winning this series. 9-13, 5-5 from three-point range for Luke Kennard. You pull something like that off, they ain't losing this game. DeAndre Ayton was playing like he had a pulse. He outplayed Shagun. Yes, he did. DeAndre Ayton, 19 points, 11 rebounds. If that's what he's going to give you and Luke Kennard is going to shoot like that, Lakers winning this series. Lakers winning this series. But obviously, the neutralizer is Kevin Durant, because that's what you brought him there for. Houston didn't have a number one option last year. That was their problem offensively. They didn't have a number one option. They do this year. And KD, assuming he's on the damn court. And here's Coach Ime Udoka for the Rockets talking about KD and what he would have brought to the game had he played. Listen to Houston Rockets coach Ime Udoka.
Efficiency and consistent scoring, you know, on a nightly basis, he shoots that at a good high clip and doesn't have too many nights like this struggling wise with all the young guys. And so kind of calms you down, run certain sets through him, draw attention and kind of feed off him at times. But regardless if he's back or not, if we shoot that poorly, it's going to be tough to win.
He's absolutely right. I mean, can't shoot this poorly. They can't shoot. I mean, and the crime with the Houston Rockets, if we're keeping it a buck, is that how do you lose Fred VanVleet before the start of the season? And you don't go out and get a point guard to run your team. How, when the Clippers let go of Chris Paul, do you not beg that man to come to Houston and provide structure so you're not turning the ball over and you're capitalizing off your play calling and you're getting to the free throw line and you're productive in clutch time? How do you pass up on getting a point guard? It didn't have to be Chris Paul, but anybody who's a known point guard who can play point. How do you not take care of that if you're the Houston Rockets? How do you drop that ball? How do you drop that ball? It's inexcusable. With the team that you have, with the potential there to compete for a championship, with Kevin Durant as your closer, you should have went out and got a point guard. Shepherd ain't going to do it for you. He can play. He's got a bright future, but he ain't going to do it for you. He ain't ready yet. And so right now, based on the way it looks, unless Kevin Durant shows up in game two and puts everybody on notice, like, yo, this is me and this is what the hell I'm bringing to the table. Unless that happens, Houston ain't winning the series. Lakers are moving on to the second round. And it all ends there. Because ain't no way in hell they beating OKC. That much I can promise you. That ain't happening. That ain't happening. 888 Mad Dog 6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. One of the other things that I wanted to do was slide on over to the New York Mets and Major League Baseball. Friday, you remember, I said that their manager, Carlos Mendoza, is in trouble. He better not go out there, having lost 8 straight, and lose this 3-game road trip to the Chicago Cubs. That better not happen. What did they do? They went out and they lost 3 in a row to the Chicago Cubs. They've lost 11 straight games, ladies and gentlemen, the New York Mets in Major League Baseball. They've lost 11 straight games. They're hitting just 200. And for those who are doubting me or whatever, they have more strikeouts with 87 than hits with 72 during their 11-game losing streak. They can't hit. Under team president David Stearns and under manager Carlos Mendoza, in 2024, they reach the NL Championship Series in the debut season of Stearns and Mendoza with the Mets. Last year, from opening day June 12th, the Mets had the best record in the majors with a 45-24 record. And then from June 13th through the end of the season, the Mets had the fifth worst record in the majors, 38-55. So they've been struggling now for since last June. You don't want to advocate for somebody being fired or whatever. But Mets, New York Mets, like the second or the third highest payroll in baseball. Out of 30 teams in Major League Baseball, they rank 29th with 72 runs, dead last with a .288 on base percentage, right? Second to last in it with a .624 OPS. And they're 27th in homers. They've got the second highest payroll plus competitive balance tax in the majors behind the Dodgers at $375 million. Yes, Juan Soto hasn't played since April 3rd. So what? You ain't supposed to be this damn bad. Juan Soto ain't supposed to dictate whether or not you win a game. 11 straight losses with that putrid offensive production? Lindor hitting .205. Just one home run and one RBI in 22 games. This is a dude that finished in the top 10 in league MVP voting last year. You even got two-time All-Star Bo Bichette. Signed a 3-year, $126 million free agent contract with the Mets in the offseason. He only hit .217. He's got more strikeouts than hits with 23-20. I just don't even know what to say. They've got a revamped infield, but they're struggling at the plate. And it's really not about their pitching. It's about their hitting. And key offseason losses, Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Brandon Nemo, Starling Marte. Shouldn't have lost these guys. There's losses. And there's no way to look at it. Mets are bad. And I'd be shocked, to be honest with you. It surprised me. If I'm shocked that it hasn't been announced that Carlos Mendoza is fired as the Mets manager today. I'm shocked that hasn't happened yet. But this is sports. Give it time. Because I don't even know if he's going to be around to make a difference. But if he's around, he better make a difference quick, fast, and in a hurry. Mets are nosediving, and their fan base, you can tell by the callers that call up here, it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant at all. They got to do something. In New York, they got to do something. And it starts with getting a new manager. It's just that simple. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and more in a minute.